All right, the show has begun. Andy Breckman, you can
Hold on, brother. Hold on, my friend. Hold on, my little friend.
Thanks for driving all the way in for the program.
Well, I was coming this way anyway.
Thank you for making it into the studio before the program began. I thought I was going to have to page the building.
Yeah.
Big energy. Hey, always good to have you full of big energy at the beginning of the show.
Here's a show we've never done. Could I fall asleep while on the air? Would that be a record-setting event?
No. Glenn Jones did that.
Well, he was after staying up for.
Well, he was mentally, you know, he was standing up and he was.
No, but I mean, make myself. Make myself a pallet on the floor. Make myself a comfortable. Little, bring in a cot. Bring in some blankets and a pillow.
You want some pallets?
A pallet. That means a makeshift bed.
A resting place. Uh huh. And then what would fans
of David Bromberg know that phrase?
What would the David who?
Fine.
Is he still performing, David Bromberg?
Sorry, I mentioned a talented musician. Sorry, I broke protocol.
I actually saw him once.
He's the greatest.
Yeah.
Oh, did he sing a melodic tune?
Yes, that's what it was.
Hi, can I get my money back?
I was trying to remember why he turned me off so much.
Yeah, hi, I wonder if I can get a refund. That first song.
Right, it was those
was
blues.
Was pleasurable to listen to.
Those blues chord progressions and the melodies.
Yeah, sorry.
It's like a hat pin in the eardrum.
Yeah. Hey, if you just tuned in.
Yeah.
I envy you that.
I've just tuned in.
I have yet to tune in.
I wear your envy.
And it's my damn show.
Good Lord, what's going on back here?
Just plug things in, buddy.
There we go. Okay.
Hey, you excited about the big record fair?
Am I? Yeah, what time are you coming?
Well, early admission begins on Friday, 4 p.m.
No, 1 p.m.
No,
stop
I read,
it.
I
no,
read the email.
No.
No, I read Michelle's email.
No, early admission is 1 to 4 p.m.
I'm quoting the email.
Stop it. Please stop. Early admission is Friday 1 to 4.
Uh-huh.
Regular admission 4 to 8 on Friday.
Uh-huh.
Saturday it's 10 to 7 and Sunday 10 to 6.
Okay. Gotcha.
And it's at the Brooklyn Expo Center.
Yeah. Sounds good.
And the Oblivions and the Gories are playing live.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And we're showing 1 October, which stars Clay Pigeon, Sunday at 4 p.m.
What is that? Some kind of movie?
Yeah, it's a documentary.
Movie? Oh, a documentary.
Documentary starring Clay Pigeon. Yep.
Oh, that sounds good.
And we're doing a polka party Friday night, 6 o'clock.
Is there a booth there that sells fire extinguishers?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Okay, good. Because if I happen to be nearby in Brooklyn and I happen to be on fire,
right,
that would be something that would get me to the record fair.
Oh, yeah. Come on by.
That would be, I'd have a reason to go.
Right, we have those special dry fire extinguishers.
Fine.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another scenario that would get me into the record fair.
Oh, well, you could come by and we could set you on fire. Just, I think you want to see how our great fire extinguishers work.
Are they new?
They're man-made.
You made them yourself?
I didn't make
them. You had your
them.
Volunteers make them?
I did not make them.
We're moving on.
Yeah, we're showing the Slits documentary, too. Did I mention that?
No, you mentioned 1 October.
Yeah. But anyway, we have a good show tonight. We've never done a show like this before.
Yeah. This could get dark. We could be taking this to dark places tonight.
Yeah. We want to know if you have ever met a murderer.
Someone that has committed a murder before you met them, or someone who went on later to commit a murder. The only story I could think of is I met Phil Hartman's wife on one or two occasions.
Yeah.
And she, of course, went on to murder
Phil.
Phil, and then killed herself.
Oh, really? She killed herself right after killing Phil?
No. There was, I believe, she killed Phil and then spent the night dealing with it with a friend.
Oof.
I believe she actually went out to a friend's house and then came back. And
went out to like an Applebee's or something?
Took her own life. It was a strange night. I don't remember.
And then in the morning
sequence of events.
In the morning she killed.
It was horrific. It was just a horrific thing.
So when
and
you
there
met,
were young kids in the house.
And oh God. Oh, and when you met Phil Hartman's wife, did you sense anything off about her? Take your time.
I'm sorry, what?
I actually was just worried about you. because you were not only were you not talking, you weren't moving. I thought you might have.
I was thinking. You asked a question. Excuse me for really taking it seriously.
I thought you might have had a stroke.
We don't take questions seriously here. Is that the new policy?
Yes.
You asked a question. You know what? I never have been asked that question. And I'm trying to remember my impression of this woman. No, I didn't get any red flags. Although it was a big party, it was a social situation.
But yeah.
I didn't really know her.
Did they seem unhappy as a couple?
No, although of course after the horrible incident, you heard stories, and I didn't know the guy well at all. So, but friends of his claim to have been worried about him. Of course, in hindsight, that's easy to say.
Yeah.
So we're looking for people who have met murderers to be, or murderers that I guess after the fact that somehow got away with it or did their time and then were released from prison when you met them.
And the phone number here is 201-536-9368.
201-536. Say it again.
201-536.
Gotcha. I got that part right.
9368.
Hold on. 201-536. Okay, I'm up to there. I'm sorry, yeah. I wasn't listening.
9368. Those are
no, say it. I'm sorry, I just tuned that again. 201-536. I'm good there.
Okay.
Go ahead. I have four digits to go.
9.
Yeah, gotcha.
3.
No reason to hesitate.
68.
93 what?
9368.
Gotcha.
Those are the numbers.
Yeah, no, I got it. I'm not an idiot. 201-536-9368.
Yeah.
We're good to go.
Okay.
Now, my daughter Molly, this is inspired by my daughter Molly, as was last week's classic, now classic show. She, I guess, read something online. She goes online sometimes instead of, in lieu of going outside and living.
Uh-huh.
She spends some time online.
Yeah.
She said that... maybe if she's listening, she can call and correct me. But she said that in the course of an average person's lifetime, they've calculated how many people that you will meet in your lifetime, and they've calculated how many murderers are out there walking around. I think she said that people in an average lifetime meet 4 murderers.
4?
Of course, you don't know it.
No, that's true. That's definitely true. I met all 4 of them at once last week.
Some kind of convention?
No, it's the Hoboken gun buyback program. We were all in line.
Yeah.
They had arsenals, those guys.
What do they offer you for a gun?
$100.
I will bid $120.
Too late?
To any listener. Any listener out there.
Okay, you'll buy any gun for $120.
I'll outbid the Hoboken, please.
Have to be a cheap ass gun. All right, we have our first person who knew a murderer.
But wait, you said you knew a murderer.
Yeah, I knew 2 of them. Now that I
well,
realize
we want to hear those stories.
Okay, well, but Tommy and
how often do we have an interesting story coming from you?
Hardly ever. Tommy and Neversink, you're on the air.
Yeah, I knew a guy who killed somebody back in North Carolina. His Jimmy Dale Swain. And
wait, you're telling me his name?
Jimmy Dale Swain. He's famous.
Well, you can't.
Well, it was so long ago.
Hold on. Wait. But he might still be out there. Of course, the odds of him.
He's in North Carolina.
Well, the odds of him being one of our 28 listeners.
What a perfect name for a murderer.
The best.
Jimmy Dale Swain.
If I was on a jury, I'd just say guilty. He's got to be guilty.
Well, in fact, the jury went pretty light on it. Well, the thing was, Donnie Hefner took Jimmy Dale's wife clothes shopping, and Jimmy Dale took great umbrage to this and showed up and shot Donnie Hefner dead.
Wow. Jimmy Dale Swain shot Donnie Hefner dead.
No, other way around. Oh, no, no.
Johnny Hefner.
Yeah, you got
And then wait. And did you know him before this incident, or did you know him after he was incarcerated?
No. I mean, it was a small town. Everybody knew each other. But no, I met him a few times after he got out of prison. He only did like 3 or 4 years because of the situation. Plus, he claimed.
You can't take someone's wife shopping. That's called a mitigating circumstance.
It is?
Yeah.
Just taking her shopping?
That's a very personal thing to do. She's trying on clothes, you know?
Well, clothes shopping.
She's asking you what you think of this outfit or that outfit. Does this blouse go with these pants?
You're not allowed to take her to Best Buy?
I'm not saying you walk free. I'm just saying it's a mitigating circumstance. It's not.
Yeah, I think there was more to it than shopping.
Shopping. Get it? Shopping.
Right, Ken. Shopping. Right.
Shopping is just two letters away from stooping.
But he did. He only did like a little shopping, a little
stooping.
You know?
Well, shopping and stooping. A little shopping and stooping spree on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, Tommy, thanks for kicking this off with a
great
story.
And did you know, when you met Jimmy Dale Swain, did you know that he was a dangerous individual, an unstable individual, someone not to cross?
Well, I mean, people are always shooting each other. I mean, it wasn't that. My sister lived with him for a few years.
Whoa.
She wasn't his girlfriend, but a bunch of people lived together.
And Jimmy Dale, did he kill the guy with a gun?
Yeah.
Execution style, or can you give us any details?
He was a pretty nice guy, except for occasionally shooting somebody.
Except for that.
Yeah.
And did the wife get to keep the clothes?
I was thinking the same thing. I never found out about that.
I don't think they went close
to that. So the jury really did find some mitigating circumstances to lessen the charge from. It was obviously not first degree.
Donnie's son was a good friend of mine. He played drums. We were in a band together.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He thought about killing Jimmy Dale every now and then.
Yeah.
Well, there's probably no good could come to that really at the end of the day.
it'd be like starting up a blood feud.
Yeah,
it could go on and on and on.
The Hatfield and McCool,
the Hefner Swain blood feud.
Now it sounds like Jimmy Dale. It sounds like it was an impulsive sort of act. If he only did a couple of years, it wasn't like premeditated. It wasn't like he went home, he got his gun, he cleaned the gun, he drove across town.
It sounded like a fight
erupted. Maybe the other guy was partially to blame.
They were very sympathetic because he was messing with his wife. Plus, he said that he didn't mean for the gun to go off.
Damn.
Now, are they still married?
You know, I don't know.
Is there any way you could find out? We're on the air till 7.
I doubt it because he lived with my sister and a bunch of people.
Oh, you mean afterwards? Afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, now they're still married.
Huh. All right.
Well, that's the story. That's the legend. That's the ballad of Jimmy Dale Swain.
Thanks a lot, Tommy.
Is your story better than that?
I got a couple of stories. They're pretty good.
Well, we should wait to a lull.
Yeah.
One of our inevitable lulls.
Right.
Hey, you know what always happens in life, by the way?
What?
The inevitable.
Lull?
No, just in general.
The inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch. Just watch. Tomorrow.
Well.
Just watch. Wait for it. The inevitable will happen.
Like the sun rising.
That's one example. Whatever happens is inevitable.
Yeah, so you're not saying anything, really.
No, I'm not saying anything, Ken. Good point. Thanks for pointing that out. Hey, we should also mention that any female who calls
gets
into the record fair for free.
That's right.
And they can show up early admission on Friday. What time does that begin?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock?
Yes.
Hold on, wait. Do you have any white out here? That's not what I was told.
It's 1 to 4 is early admission.
I see. And then what happens at
hours,
4?
Hours are different.
What happens at 4?
4 o'clock. Regular admission begins at
I 4 gotcha.
O'clock.
Now, does someone calling today, a female calling today, get in early admission?
Yes.
Wow.
And then we want to know when they're coming, because then we're going to start saying that there's going to be a woman at the record fair at this date and time.
You can billboard that.
Yes.
You can market that.
We're going
to
telegraph it. Yep.
A woman at the record fair.
Yeah.
A woman at the record fair.
Right.
You know, I have a pretty good imagination, but it's not that good. I can't picture it.
Well, maybe you come over even though you're not on fire, because there's going to be a
woman.
Why
would I come if I'm not on fire?
Because there's a woman at the record fair.
What day is she coming?
I hope Friday.
Me too. Man, oh, man. Man, oh, man.
All right, Pete.
Calling all heterosexual men.
Heterosexual.
Yeah, to see the woman.
Oh, all right, heterosexual. Pete in L.A., you're on the air.
Hey, Pete, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the air, guys.
Did you know Jimmy Dale Swain, or is this about a different murderer?
This is a different murderer.
Whoa, interesting. Interesting.
I've met a number of murderers in my life. One of them claimed he wasn't a murderer. That was in the penthouse at L.A. County Jail.
Oh, I see. And wait, what were you doing in L.A. County Jail?
I actually was innocent. The guy claimed he was innocent, but I actually was innocent. I only did a week up there, and let me tell you, this was the early 90s.
Yeah.
And that was the era where, I probably the same now, I wouldn't know because I haven't been there for 30 years, but Amnesty International would do well to check into the conditions at L.A. County Jail. The worst being, of course, the sheriffs that were running the place. They were the scariest gang in there. And then another murderer, someone I used to tour with, I think he knifed a guy in New Orleans. That was the rumor on the thing. But more specifically, the reason I'm calling you guys today, because this is a pretty famous one. My band, I used to have been a band called Thelonious Monster out of here in Los Angeles. We were playing a gig.
Wait, what was the name of the band?
Thelonious
Monster.
We were
Monster. A band called Thelonious
Fantastic.
Monster.
Fantastic. Love them. You did a great, I remember you used to do great live shows.
Oh, thank you so much.
Fantastic.
We used to play Thelonious Monster.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, Thelonious Monster's doing a gig. I believe it was at the Alexandria Hotel down at like 4th and Spring or whatever that is downtown Los Angeles. Right? So we're playing this gig. It wasn't a regular venue. It was in the bar of the joint. And I can't believe it. I know we played there once opening for Alex Chilton, but I don't know if it was that specific date. Point being is there's this cat there. So we're like, what kind of music we played, whatever, college rock in those days. Alternative, this sort of thing. There was this Hesher there. There was this guy standing there.
Well, I know what a Hesher is, but my friend Ken might not be familiar. Why don't you tell Ken?
Like a heavy metal dude.
Like a heavy metal. It's like a heavy metal band.
Like a heavy metal dude.
A headbanger.
Yeah. Like a headbanger, Ken. Yeah.
Right, and completely out of context at our gig. Completely out of, to the point that was like, look at that. We got a Hesher at our gig. This is really crazy, man. Like, maybe we're getting somewhere, Anyways, went up to the guy, didn't respond, talked to him. Turns out later, this is Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Oh, wow.
But wait. How did you identify him then and remember his name and put it together?
We didn't know he was the Night Stalker when I approached him. Are you fucking
That wasn't on his business card?
I cussed on the air. That's terrible.
Oh, I didn't even catch it.
We missed it.
Oh, good. Yeah. I was real quick. Anyways, so of course we didn't know it was Richard Ramirez when we met this guy, because how would you know? He hadn't been caught yet.
Right.
He was still actively murdering. He used to stay out in Riverside, come in, stay downtown, murder people, and go back home or whatever.
Was he the Zodiac Killer?
No, he was he's the guy that crawled into people's houses in L.A.
He creepy crawled.
He
had this whole city. He was like our Son of Sam.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he...
I'm against that.
Against what, murder?
Yeah, crawling in and...
Creepy crawling and murdering. Yeah, I'm against all forms of murder.
Me too.
And he was famous for when they took his picture, he had the pentagram on his hand.
Wow.
And it was all during...
Wait, okay, who identified him later? Who said later, I guess it was years later, hey, remember that guy
show? No, it wasn't years later, it was months later when they got
Later, but who's the guy that put it together for you? And
lead singer of the band.
But how credible was that?
He's the lead singer.
Because, but once he mentioned it to me, I went and checked the picture. I go, that's the guy, that's the vibe.
You remembered it. He was that memorable.
That's what I'm saying, is that this guy was so off.
Well, that's a pretty good story.
You would notice him just vibrating in a room.
Yeah. Like, can you beat that story, Ken?
I might be able to beat that story, but
that's
we have other people calling.
Okay.
Pete, that's a great story. Thanks for the call.
So wait, we have... All right, guys, this is a guy. Hold on. We've met a guy who's met the Night Stalker. We've met a guy who's met
Jimmy Dale Swain. All right, I got two stories.
Okay,
but a lot of people calling.
Wait for the inevitable lull.
Okay, wait for the inevitable lull.
Yeah.
And we only have two lines up here, so we're going to go to Edward in Brooklyn.
Should we give the number out again? 201-536. I'm just blanking.
201-536-9368.
I don't think that was it.
No, that was it.
Wait, 201-536, say what?
9368. And Edward, you're on the air.
9368.
Hi, Edward.
Hi, Ken.
You love the show.
I do love the show.
Hey, thanks, Eddie.
Hey.
Means the world to us.
Yeah, and I thought I'd lighten things up with a lighthearted little tale. My first wife, while we were married, her father murdered her mother.
Oh. No, 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 oh, no, man. No, no.
Yes.
I told you we were going to get into this kind of thing, Andy.
Now there you. Well, I guess so.
It gets funnier.
Well, no, wait. What was the circumstances involved in that? I mean, and let me ask you this. Did it completely surprise you 100%, or did you kind of sense this guy was unstable? And...
This guy had a history of beating her.
No,
He was an alcoholic, but get this.
Yeah.
He used an axe.
Oh, God.
He did it while his wife was incapacitated in a wheelchair.
Oh, no.
Jeez.
No. Poor wife. And then so the phone rang and it was the police?
No, my wife got word from one of her sisters.
Oh, my God. And then is the father still in jail?
Now, I don't know what happened, actually. This was in Toronto, and it was very near the end of our marriage. When our marriage broke up, I sort of lost contact with the family. So I don't know. Last I knew, he was in a mental institution.
Oh, so in a way, that's almost beating the rap, because that's not a lifetime. That's not a life. I don't know if Canadian laws are a little more lenient or different than ours.
Yeah, well, I think he was under observation. I don't know what eventually happened.
And then, of course, the obvious question I'm sure everybody asked, you're probably sick of answering it, was the wheelchair damaged?
We
don't know all the details.
Don't worry about the wheelchair, Andy.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Okay, I got
thanks,
you.
Thanks for
you're right, that's not the priority.
Thanks
you're
for
right.
the call, Peter.
You're right. It's the human.
Yeah, the human
loss.
Yeah, the woman was...
I got you. You're right.
Yeah.
Now that you say it, of course, it's obvious.
Right.
Yes, that's what we should be worried about.
Oh, that was Edward. Thanks for the call, Edward.
Okay, so that's Edward's father-in-law.
Yeah, and we're going to Peter in Springfield. Hey, Peter, you're
Edward's
on the air.
Edward's ex-father-in-law. Hey, Peter, thanks for calling. You love the show.
Yes, I do.
If a woman calls, and Peter obviously does not qualify,
right.
They get into the record fair for free.
For free.
Woman, because that's our way to say we appreciate the trauma of meeting and associating with a murderer. And the fairer sex has a little trouble handling that kind of thing sometimes, and as way of compensation.
We want to give them a free pass to the record fair, and then we want to capitalize on that by announcing when the woman is going to be at the record fair.
Yes, and you have some kind of moving spotlight that will follow her around the record fair.
Well, it's not going to be right on her, but
we'll
right
be able to find her.
Next to her, if you follow the spotlight, you'll be able to find where the woman is.
Darn, I should go in.
You've got to check it out. The record fair is, there may be a woman.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Brooklyn Expo Center.
I know.
Yeah, it's not just all crate digging.
Yeah, I always liked the record fair.
There might be a woman there, too.
What does that mean, it's not all crate digging?
I'm saying that it's not just crate digging. You know, crate digging. There might be a woman there.
A woman you could... It's like some boon town during the gold rush when a woman comes to town.
I don't know what you mean.
Everyone just stops and stares.
It's the record fair.
Yeah, it's the record fair. Okay, so Pete, tell us about a murderer. Did you know the murderer before he killed or after?
Before, definitely, because I worked in a liquor store, and he was a regular customer.
Mm. Wow,
he seemed like a nice enough guy.
Yeah.
Sometime he got a little mad.
He had a little anger. He had anger issues.
Yeah.
And what was his first name?
Oh Jesus, he was a. I hate to say, he was a Filipino Oriental guy. He was a student at King College.
Fernando was his first name. Fernando?
No. It was a while ago.
Ferdinand?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Ferdinand.
Let's call him Ferdinand.
Yeah, Filipino Oriental guy. He's a student. And then who?
Filipino.
Who was his? Who was his victim?
His grandmother.
Oh no.
His grandmother. His sister.
Oh no.
And I think he slashed his younger brother.
No, no, no.
And then one of my friends went over to his house, and when he heard the yelling, and the guy slashed him.
Oh, no.
It was a for real a samurai sword. And then next thing, he took off in a car, and they caught him on the parkway somewhere way before the Raritan Bridge.
That damn parkway.
Yeah,
damn parkway.
You know, he could have made the right exit, but...
So he got... Where was he heading? The Raritan Bridge. What was he heading?
He didn't know.
Heading south. Was he in the express lane?
No, I think it was in the slow lane.
No, that was his mistake.
Yeah, because the state troopers cut him off.
Yeah, yeah. If you're ever fleeing a murder, you know, go into the express lane.
Or make sure the traffic gets heavy there sometimes.
But you can go in the diamond lane. Yeah, bring one of your victims with you. And just prop him up.
Yeah, prop him up. Exactly.
Yeah. Boy, you've thought this through pretty well, Ken.
Yeah.
And okay.
Peter, what was his favorite drink, Ferdinand?
He used to come in just buy a six pack and a pint.
Just beer.
Do you think this was an alcohol fueled event?
No, because when they analyzed him, they said it was just stress from college.
Huh. And you said he used to buy a six pack and a pint of what?
Just a pint of not vodka, actually vodka.
But Ken, it wasn't about the alcohol. You're trying to blame Peter for this incident?
No,
he was alcohol free. They did a blood test.
Yeah,
it was the stress from college. He was taking too many courses.
Right,
that's what he said.
Yeah, it was just, and was probably stressed. His family was pressuring him about grades.
Yeah,
yeah, and he slashed up. He slashed up his grandmother.
Wow, he was a multiple killer.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't. Ooh. That's why when my wife and I just we let these B minuses and these Bs just slide.
Really?
Yeah. No stress in our house about grades, and we keep the samurai swords hidden away.
No, you should keep the samurai sword locked up in a locked cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't let the kids know where the lock is.
Thank you, Peter.
Hold on, I have to write all the things.
Sometimes you speak so fast, I can't
locked
follow
cabinet.
I got it. Locked
samurai
cabinet.
Sword.
Samurai sword locked away.
Locked cabinet.
Right, and B minus.
Hide, right.
B minus in Spanish, let it slide.
Hide key to locked cabinet.
Got it.
Don't leave the key
I'm
in.
Not an idiot.
Okay. All right.
Talk to me.
Looking
for patronizing. I know where to put the samurai sword.
Well, I know you know where to put the samurai sword. The point is...
We need a woman, because a woman means an interesting story that's probably true. Although all these other stories so far have had the ring of truth.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
And the woman will be given a free pass to the record fair.
Okay. The number here, if you have ever known a murderer, is 201-536-9368.
Hold on. 536-9368.
And Brian in Nyack, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Brian.
We're doing great now that you called.
I love you guys. I'm glad I got through.
We love you, Brian.
I'll tell you why that's funny, Ken, because no one else is calling.
Well, let me tell you, my nephew murdered somebody.
No!
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. It was a gang initiation.
It was a gang initiation.
Oh, they told him he had to go out and kill somebody to get into
right.
the...
Right, him and three other guys. Yep.
Wait. And so it was a stranger or was it a rival gang?
I guess a rival gang guy, I guess, maybe.
What was the gang? Was it Mary Kay Cosmetics? What was the...
Latin King.
Damn.
Yeah. He's in the newspaper, on TV, everything.
And then were all four of them convicted?
Yeah.
And then is your nephew, he's doing hard time?
Yeah, he got 20 to life.
But when he gets out, he's a member in good standing.
I would imagine. I guess.
They probably
click together in jail, right?
So, yeah. Now, when you get out after doing 20 years, do they hit you for back dues?
I know, right?
Like, is there like a... I bet they waived the dues.
He was like 18 years old when it happened.
Oh,
like
my God.
Years ago.
Now, if he was 1 year younger, it would be a different story, right? He'd be a minor.
Right. Yeah, and the feds tried to get him to flip, you know, to turn on the other guys, and he wouldn't. So he's spending the rest of his life in jail. Yeah,
holy moly. Did you know him well?
Yeah, he's my nephew, yep.
Did you try to steer him straight like that old mama tried?
I didn't get, I didn't even know he was part of the gang, to tell you the truth. You'd never know. Even his mother didn't know.
Well,
yeah.
Oh my God. Well, he probably has more friends than me.
Yeah, me too.
All right, Brian.
I've got more now in jail.
Yeah, has a lot of good friends in jail.
Brian, thanks for the call.
Here's who we've talked to. We've met a friend of someone who met the Night Stalker.
Right.
We've met someone who knew Tommy Dale Swain. I'm not making that up.
Jimmy Dale Swain. Yeah.
You're right. I can't read my own writing.
Yeah.
Edward, ex-father-in-law.
Oh, that was bad. The samurai sword?
No, that was not the samurai sword. Oh, that was the ex-father-in-law killed his wife.
The axe and the wheelchair.
Peter worked in the liquor store, and one of his customers, one of his regulars.
Right, Ferdinand.
Yes. And then we just talked to Brian, whose nephew is still in jail.
Oof. Wow, I'm not. I have two stories, and I'm not going to have a chance to tell either of them.
So this is a win-win for our listeners.
Right, exactly.
We're hearing interesting stories, and we're keeping Ken at bay.
And Kyle, you're on the air.
Hold on, I'm making notes as we go.
Hi.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, guys, I'm a girl.
There you go. Hey, you're getting into the record fair.
That's awesome. I'm winning already.
Would you like a free pass to the record fair, Kyle?
You know, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it.
Oh,
because you're afraid we won't let you out of the record fair.
Yes.
I don't blame you. You should explain, Ken, that women get a free pass both directions.
Yeah. No, we'll let you out.
In and out.
I don't know. Any sign that it's like, women, please come here. It's like you have to go downstairs and get awake.
Oh, no. It's nothing. It's not like that at all.
Not like that at all.
No.
Sure. No, it's not like that.
I mean, there's just going to be a slight spotlight following you around.
And then there'll be like 500 guys singing, "There's Nothing Like a Dame."
Well, I've been there before.
From South Pacific.
Yeah. And then when you want to leave,
nothing walks like a dame.
It's no problem. You just come and get me. We will unlock the doors.
Yep.
And we will let you out.
Nothing talks like a dame.
Sounds very, very complicated.
Yeah. And then
very date rapey.
No, not at all. No.
Not at all.
No, there's
rapey.
A spotlight.
What other kinds of rapies are there?
There's, you know, parking lot rapey.
Yeah, it's not that.
Like Catholic church rapey.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
No,
that.
It's more like, this is more like record fair rapey. It's a whole new category. But Kyle, did you know a murderer either before or after the incident?
So I've known a few.
Are you in law enforcement? Are you work for the prosecutor?
No, I just, you know, like to have a good time.
Uh-huh.
What the hell are you talking about? What does that mean?
I have a big family.
What does that mean?
She's got a big family. She likes to have a good time.
Well, how does that follow that you know murderers, that you've met multiple murderers?
I know a lot of people who do a lot of things.
You've got to come to the record fair.
I get it.
Give her own booth. She could just spin her story.
Kyle, I get it. I'll explain it all to Andy.
Kyle, who's the most notorious murderer that you met?
So, in the 80s... Way back when, I was in a punk band called Death and Everybody.
Beth and Everybody, good name.
Death and Everybody.
Death and Everybody.
Okay.
D-I-E.
Uh-huh.
Right. So we played in Youngstown, Ohio with a band called Fang.
Wait, spell Fang, F-A-N-G?
F-A-N-G. And I think they made it like it was an acronym on the posters, like F period A period A N period G period.
Yeah.
And they were awesome. They were great to play with. They were a really wonderful band. And after the show, it was at this place called the Pelican Pub in Youngstown, Ohio. After the show, we all went to this woman's apartment. I think her name was Mo. And she had a habit of inviting bands back to her place, and some people slept there, and she'd let them use the shower and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
It was very cool for a punk band because those people needed a shower.
Yep.
And so it was my birthday, and the bar was giving us free drinks. Like, my band sang the other band that played. And people were getting a little drunk, and the singer from Fang was getting a little weird. And I was talking to the bass player, and he told me that that's his thing. He gets weird. He talks about stabbing people. and he walks around with a knife, and then he passes out, and it's no big deal.
Damn.
God.
Yeah, but I read years later that Sam was actually in prison for murdering his girlfriend with a knife.
Whoa.
You mean he?
Hey, Kyle, I found your band on YouTube.
Yeah, it looks great. Wait, now were you the lead?
Yeah, Kyle was the lead singer.
Is this her?
Yeah, that's her.
Yes.
That's the song Gloom, right?
It is Gloom.
Now, you used to open with that song, I think.
No, we usually open with a song called Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, yeah. Oprah Winfrey. Gets everyone clapping along, Oprah Winfrey.
Well, Kyle, great story.
So the lead singer from Fangwood kind of was a little drunk, a little wasted, and was bragging, was talking about how he would use his knife on people, and then years later you found that it wasn't just talk.
Yeah.
And he's still in prison.
Apparently he is still in prison.
Now, doesn't that make his band a little punkier and more authentic than your band?
You know, you gotta have some street cred, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have a good band, but nobody killed anyone in your band.
I can't deny that.
You call yourself a punk band. Yeah. Well, Kyle, that was an amazing story, and we hope to see you at the Record Fair. What day do you think we can expect you?
The 12th of never.
Hold on, let me write that
12th
down.
12th of never.
No, don't say that and then not show up.
I will definitely be there on the 12th of never.
All right, okay. That's when there's going to be a woman at the Record Fair.
Never the 12th. And we'll
just follow the spotlight.
We'll escort you in. We'll sing There Is Nothing Like a Dame. And then we'll escort you out.
I probably have been drugged by then, and there will be testing.
No. Find me, and we'll let you out.
Yeah. Record Fair rapey is the least intrusive kind of rapey there is.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great night.
You too.
That was Kyle from Death in Everybody.
I love their song Oprah Winfrey, but I guess my favorite has to be Gloom.
Gloom. Yeah. No, Gloom's
What's
my
your
favorite,
favorite song
it's
of theirs?
It's Gloom, definitely. Yeah.
But they're not as authentic a punk band as Fang. Do you hear what happened
with
no. Fang?
Yeah. So let me quickly tell one of my stories. We had
Wait, don't we have another call?
We do.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Phew! Dodging a bullet here at WFMU.
Jay and Elizabeth, you're on the air.
We've never had this particular problem. Too many calls.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, Jay, thanks for calling.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Should I just start the story? Or?
Well, hold on. Wait till I'm in position.
Yeah,
hold on. Let me buckle in. This is going to be a great one.
All right.
Jay, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Cranford, New Jersey.
Cranford, New Jersey. And what'd you do today? What do you do for a living?
So right now I'm a student, but I'm delivering Chinese food, and this station keeps me alive.
Ah, excellent. I love Chinese food.
Yeah.
And I don't anymore because I delivered so much.
I love college. So you've got it all covered. You're
State
living
University.
The life, buddy. You're living the dream. Okay.
Oh, the American dream.
Now you sound like a young man. How could you possibly have crossed paths with a murderer?
Well, so the story goes, I was friends with a guy, and he worked for the state to lay down pavement in Union and Middlesex County. So he invited us over for a barbecue. We're chilling, relaxing, drinking beers, and he invited the pavement crew, which was a lot of guys from Central and South America. There's like 7 or 8 of them. So we're chilling. A guy gives me a beer. I start drinking, whatever, you know, conversing. I'm speaking to them in Spanish, this, that, and the third. And then pot gets broken out. Everybody starts smoking. And somebody passes a joint to one of the guys who's belligerently drunk. And he gets pissed off and takes it as some kind of weird offense. So starts going off on my friend in Spanish. And my friend does not speak Spanish, mind you. So the guy that breaks up the fight, hence the murderer, was a member of MS-13 back in the day. In like I found out after the fact, in like the early 90s. And really, really nice guy. Like, you wouldn't think anything about him. Really sweet guy. Like, I shared a beer with him.
Yo, MS-13 people are the best.
Oh, my God.
They are. They're
such a great number, right?
Yeah, they're so sweet.
They're so sweet.
So the MS-13 guy breaks up the fight.
Oh, yeah. He, because... So what happened was the guy starts yelling at my friend in Spanish. My friend doesn't understand. So he doesn't even understand that he's being yelled at because he's not even facing the guy. So my other friend who does speak Spanish breaks up the fight. And
oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah. So then this MS-13 guy, because my friend and this other guy now are in each other's faces, this MS-13 guy has to break up a secondary fight. And then after the fact, it was all good. It was all love. We were chilling, having a great time. So I learned after the fact that he used to decapitate people. And apparently he's killed like 25, upwards of 30 people. I never got his name.
Back in El Salvador, you mean?
Yes, in El Salvador.
Yeah.
I got his nickname, but that's like not really relevant because, you know.
How many people
wait,
did he?
Hold on.
He decapitated 25 people?
What was the, wait.
Yeah, he used to cut people's, like, well, down there, they don't really shoot as much. They use more like machetes.
Yeah, it's machetes.
And he used to cut people apart. Like,
well, 25.
That's how you send a message. That's how you send a message, Ken, to rival gangs. But wait, what was his nickname? You're afraid?
Chicho.
What is it?
Chicho.
C-H-E.
Chichum.
Yeah, something like that.
Now, would
Bad
you give?
Guy.
Would you
He's
give
like Cheech? Teddy bear.
Now, where is Cheechum now? Did he ever get? Did he do time?
I don't think he ever did time. He came here. From what he was telling me, he's not here on a legal term. So he was just doing like under the table work, working for restaurants in the area.
Yeah, well, he's probably not very high in MS-13. 25 decapitating 25 people. That's not very many people.
Yeah, and he.
I think you got to do a lot more to move up the ranks.
You need a higher kill streak, I guess. But yeah, very nice guy. You would meet him on the street. You wouldn't think anything.
You wouldn't
of him.
Know. You wouldn't know if you met him on the street that he was decapitated scores of people.
Yeah, and I only found this out because
not
a friend
scores.
Of mine that
right,
worked with
yeah,
him. He told me
a score.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
One score plus five.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not four score. Thank God.
Well, hold on. I'm actually a little distracted.
It's okay.
Well, thank you, Jay.
Well, hold on, Jay. You might
it's
have
great,
to tell that story
a great
again.
Story. Yeah, what the hell are you doing?
If I text the garage, you're checking your email. If I text the garage 15 minutes before.
Oh, you're texting your garage.
Ready.
Oh,
yeah.
Very nice. Okay.
And I'll have the car. Then I can get home.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jay.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Why don't you text the garage and I'll tell one of my
The alternative
stories.
Would be standing there waiting.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, don't
now
want
I'm getting
do that.
An error message.
Okay, so text the garage and I'll tell the story about the WFMU DJ.
Oh, perfect. Okay, go ahead.
Who murdered somebody. When I first became program director, general manager.
Is there anybody else calling?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Back in the 80s, we had a DJ whose name shall go unsaid.
Okay.
And
what were his initials?
He did fill-ins. His initials were FW.
Okay.
And then FW worked at a scuba shop on Route 27 in Edison, New Jersey. That was the guy who owned the scuba shop was very depressed and was trying to get one of his employees to murder him.
Trying to murder him. He wanted to have someone murder himself.
Yeah.
Was he sick?
No, he was just depressed. And he was offering, long story short, FW finally did it. They went out to Round Valley Reservoir. His boss laid down on the ground. His boss had given him $10,000 cash and bought him a brand new Mercedes-Benz.
Now, is this because the boss was trying to get the insurance and he wouldn't have been paid off?
No, the story I heard was that he was just very depressed and just wanted somebody to kill him. And he bought FW a Mercedes-Benz, gave him 10 grand cash. FW shot him on the ground and then immediately turned himself into the police. And he served 5 years. And, of course, everybody after that, everybody at FMU was like, oh, man, did anybody ever see anything, you know, weird about FW? And there was one story where FW got very angry at another DJ and chased him through the parking lot. FW chased Terry Moore through the Uppsala College parking lot. But that was the only thing that we could find. How's your car doing?
It'll be brought up in a few minutes. Thanks for asking.
Oh,
so, wait, so you're saying there was a WFMU DJ in what?
Yeah.
And what happened?
He played records.
Oh, okay. And then he was involved in some incident?
And then he made people very happy. People call up and request songs.
Well, that's off topic,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he says that you were busy with your car.
Well, now I'm just tuning back in.
Yeah.
I'm tuning back in. I'm playing catch up.
Right.
I'm apologizing.
And the phone number here is 201-536, and then a couple of numbers after that. And we're looking for anybody who has ever met a murderer.
Either before the incident or after.
Right.
And you said you had two stories.
Yes, I have a second story.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. The second story was I used to there was a guy on my freshman dormitory hall at the University of Michigan named Dan. And he was a real character, and he used to gamble. He that was it. He would just like get really drunk and gamble every night, and I used to, of course, hang out with him. At night, we would go to his room, and he'd be playing backgammon, high-stakes backgammon. That was his thing. And one night, he got really, really loaded, and he started telling me the story over and over again about a kid who bullied him in high school and how one day he shot him and killed him in the woods. And he told me the story like literally like 15 times, and he was reenacting the moment when
he get away with it?
Yeah, he got away with it. And I wasn't...
You mean it's an open case? It's an unsolved case?
I didn't know what to think that night. That night, he was just laughing and telling the story and literally acting out how he shot the guy with a shotgun over and over again. And I just wasn't sure what to think. And the next day, we both were, you know, we both wake up at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And Dan knocks on my door, and he's sweating bullets. And he says to me, like, last night in my room, what did I say? Did I tell you anything? And I said, don't you worry. Like, don't you worry about a thing. Your secret is safe with me. And he just, like, turned around and walked away.
But you could, but wait.
No, there's more. There's more.
Do you know his last name?
I don't remember his last name.
But could you find out his last name?
Maybe if I went through University of Michigan.
Wait, but this is a murderer who's...
He was kicked out of school.
Well, that's not punishment enough.
Well, here's the kicker.
Yeah?
Is that I started telling some people the story, like really good friends of mine, I started telling them.
Yeah?
And somebody knew the high school he went to.
And confirmed it?
Which was in Michigan. And we talked to somebody who went to his high school, and sure enough, there was a kid who disappeared.
Wait, that's an unsolved murder?
Yeah, an unsolved
murder. Wait, you've got to do something. Ken, you've got to. You've got to figure out his last name.
I gave Dan my word.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. Yeah, did you pinky swear?
Yeah, I think we did pinky
swear. No, Ken, seriously. There's no statute of limitations on this.
I'll have to go. Wait, am I ever going to find...
Is there someone in Michigan law enforcement listening? Or has got to... Ken!
I remember the... I could track down the guy who went to high school with him. That name I remember.
Well, then he would know the name of the...
And he's a lawyer. And he's a lawyer now.
Well, he would know the name of the victim and probably the name... He'd probably remember the name of this kid. Wait, why didn't he do anything?
I don't know.
You told him the story.
I did tell him the story. Sandy. I told Sandy.
Wait, this is an open case. This is a real thing.
Yeah.
I'd love to really, really get you in trouble on this.
Okay.
I'd really love to really make you wish you'd never told this story.
Well, Dan lived on... In the fall of 1977, Dan lived on the fourth floor of East Quad at University of Michigan.
So he would be about your age now.
Yeah.
He'd about
be 60. Around 60. Yeah.
About 60. And do you know what high school he went to?
It was in Michigan. That's all I can tell. It was outside Detroit.
So this incident was in the early 70s, I guess, right? Mid-70s?
Early mid-70s. Probably mid-70s. No,
wait,
you're right.
But how could you walk around with this and not ever want to do something?
I was a little scared of him.
But and then he was 60.
And then
now
he was
an old man.
He was later kicked out. And then I met his sister.
Yeah,
I met his...
Hubba hubba. The sisters of murderers. Nothing's hotter.
I met...
Forbidden fruit, kids.
Yeah.
And how'd that go?
Oh, hey, we got a complaint about your rape jokes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pro or con?
Con.
Really?
Yeah, it's Mike.
Mike from where?
It doesn't say.
Oh, let him get into the record fair. Give him a free pass.
Okay. You want me to read the complaint over the air?
Nah. Just tell him he gets in free.
Well, he's not somebody who gets all triggered, you know, in this era of so-called outrage culture. He's not that kind of guy.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Sounds like he might be.
But your rape jokes.
Yeah.
He says Ken and Andy's rape jokes, but they were really Andy's rape jokes.
Yeah.
Ken and Andy's rape jokes made it a female caller at 6:30-ish today just seem notably beyond the type of sometimes crass sometimes bonker vibe.
But not far beyond. He didn't say far beyond. He said notably. That's like tiptoeing.
Should we let Mike in?
Yeah, Mike gets in free. Okay. Anyone I offend gets in free.
Can we use the spotlight that we were going to use on Kyle on Mike?
Yeah, but don't think there is nothing like a dame to Mike. It would make
no sense.
Oh,
no, I won't. No. Can we sing, "I'm going to wash that mic right out of my hair"?
You know South Pacific? You always surprise me. I'm really very impressed with you.
Nathan Detroit.
No, who that's doesn't not know South Pacific.
Oh, you're right. That's
Guys and Dolls.
Oh, you're right. See, I don't know it. I confuse South Pacific.
No, but you know.
Oh, Bali High.
Yeah.
Bali High.
Yeah, Bali High, yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, and that song, Happy Time. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Wait, I got to say, for you to walk around knowing that there's an open murder, I got to say.
Well, the guy who was murdered.
I would do something. You can drop a dime. You could make a call anonymously.
I think you're forgetting a very key point.
Yeah.
The guy that Dan killed was a bully.
Mm-hmm. Had it coming?
Yeah. He was a bully.
The bully was led out into the woods at gunpoint.
No, they were going to meet in the woods to fight.
And Dan
brought a shotgun.
Wait, how could now red flags are going up.
Okay.
Because that's the kind of case. No one meets in the woods to fight secretly. You tell your friends.
That's true, yeah.
You tell your friends, I'm going to the woods to fight.
Right.
Bullies have friends. How could that have been? He might have been full of it.
He might have been, but he did an amazing job acting then. And then my friend Sandy went to the same high school with him
and confirmed that there was a missing. And also that knock on the door the next day.
Right.
That anxious
And he was
knock.
Freaking sweating. He was, I mean, he was hungover, obviously, but he was really freaked out.
Huh.
He wasn't putting it on.
I wonder if there's someone listening in Michigan that can help sort this out.
And then his sister, who I met years
later. What if someone from the DA's office calls you tomorrow? Would you take that call?
Sure.
But this confession, this is so long ago, I wonder if it means anything now.
Yeah. Yeah,
they'd have to find other evidence. Maybe he's talked to other people.
Yeah, Jesus, it was 19. Yeah, it was fall of 77.
But maybe he's since talked to other people.
It's like October of 77.
But there's no statute of limitations.
We called him Dan Mafioso. That was our nickname for him because he just, you know, ripped everybody off and just played, you know.
Well, then somebody else might remember. Wow.
And then his sister.
Ken, your life would have purpose. Ken, you'd be doing, this is the ultimate good deed.
His sister.
You'd be bringing closure to the dead bully's family.
His sister did a radio show.
Oh, my God.
At my college station, WCBN. And one point I said, I recognized her last name. I said, I knew your brother, Dan. And she was mortified. Like, she did not want to hear about him. She was like,
I wonder if she could confirm the story.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, in its own way, the best story yet, because it's an open case. It's a case that you know. It's your secret.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't do anything with it. Well, I was scared. I was actually really...
By scared, you mean stoned.
Well, yeah.
I was stoned. I was too... But maybe someone will be proactive and... Because there's a family out there that still has this scar.
Oh, the family of the bully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they probably didn't love him very much. That's probably why he became a bully. Oh, hang on a second. Huh.
Is this the music of Fang?
That's my ringtone.
Wait, could that be the DA calling from Ann Arbor?
Oh, geez, that's about your car.
It is?
Yeah.
What happened? An update?
It got hit. And they were bringing it down for you, and it got hit.
And they called you?
Yeah.
That's a very, very intuitive parking garage attendant to know. I guess he's a real fan of mine.
Yeah, they were listening to the show.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, we learned a lot today.
Yes.
I would say you ended up, this shockingly, you ended up with the best story yet, because it's an open case.
Right, an open case.
But we learned a little bit about Jimmy Dale Swain. We learned a little bit about the Night Stalker, Edward's father-in-law. Peter and his Filipino.
Oh, the samurai sword.
Samurai sword
and then
wielding.
The axe in the wheelchair. That was bad.
Brian's nephew is still doing time. Kyle from, what was the name of her band?
Death in Everything.
Death in Everyone. But of course, she knew the lead singer, Fang.
Right. And their great song, Gloom.
And Jay knew Chi-Chun. Do you remember Chi-Chun?
Oh, yeah, from MS-13. What a great guy.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy to have at a barbecue. And Dan at the University of Michigan. I don't know. I don't remember that one.
And DJ FW.
Oh, DJ FW.
Yeah.
Well, we shared a lot. I feel like we've shared a lot today. We've gotten a little closer.
We have. Thanks to Nick the Bard for screening our calls tonight.
And Veronica, we miss you. We hope you're back doing newsletters soon.
We miss Veronica. And thanks to Hand for being our thank you gal.
And you want to plug this little record fair?
Oh,
again?
Yeah, the record fair this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Brooklyn Expo Center, 79 Franklin Street, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go to WFMU.org for all the details. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
Wait, where is it? At W what?
WFMU.
Dot what?
Dot org.
Okay.
Yeah, are you in next week?
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm retired. Forced retirement.
Is that what you're calling it now?
Well, I'm saying I'm semi-retired, but what that means is retired.
Are you calling yourself retired now?
Well, I don't want to write anymore.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm beat.
Really?
I'm exhausted.
Writing is too tiring.
It's hard.
Oh, I know. I hate it.
I know.
I hate writing.
But I got to figure out another way to make a living. Hey, do you have any openings here?
We might.
At the station?
Yes.
Like what?
I'm looking for more coders.
I don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah, my son could do that.
I would hire your son in a minute.
Well, I don't think you could afford him.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Hey. The gals are here. Hey, what's our show tonight?
It's complicated.
It's a complicated show tonight on In Real Life.
So you know it's good.
With Emily,
oh, for
and Emily and Kimzilla.
Wait, it's for grown-ups, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I might just tune in. Hey, you guys going to be at the record fair? You hear about this record fair they're having?
Yeah, we're going.
You're going?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you go. Girls on Parade.
Girls on Fire.
Girls
Stay
on
tuned
fire.
For In Real Life with Emily and Kimzilla.
Yeah, it's been too long since we heard that.
So I actually just Googled Muslim woman, and it's not pleasant.
Basically, we're going to go over stereotypes as Muslim women we're faced and what we're expected to be. We'll just go around the room and just, I guess, say any word that comes to your mind when it comes to any stereotype when it comes to Muslim women. So Muslim woman, I feel one stereotype is we're supposed to be oppressed, or that's one stereotype people might have in terms of media. So.
I feel like Muslim women are supposed to be quiet, not outspoken, not loud.
Like, aren't Muslim girls supposed to be, like, mellow and, like, reserved? And, yeah, so that really, like, got to me that people actually think that.
Everyone thinks we're forced to do everything. Are you forced to wear the hijab? No. Are you going to be forced to marry somebody? It's like, no.
When I think of people's perceptions of Muslim women, I think they may see someone who's weak, docile. These candidates are talking about these dangerous groups of people. You know, there's this whole crisis going on of who is the enemy, who is not.
I have felt threatened because I was Muslim, especially with the given political environment we are in now with so much tensions. It has taken a toll on, I guess, how I'm responding to the world. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
I'm rallying Emily because she's sick, guys. Hi, Emily.
You can't make me laugh right before we go on the air.
That's what's only, that's the only thing that's going to get you through this hour, Emily.
That, and I'm hoping that my sick voice, it doesn't, does it? I was hoping it was just going to come out really sexy. And
you just sound like a sarcastic teen. Yeah, so, yeah, you know,
I just sound like I have really affected vocal fry.
Yeah, you sound like every podcast I listen to.
Whatever.
Well, welcome, lifers.
You're listening to In Real Life. I'm Emily.
And I'm Kimzilla. And look at you. Look at you. Put your big girl pants on.
It's my big girl voice. Put my public radio voice on.
Put your public radio voice on.
Pull
everything
it out
be
just
fine.
For the occasion, because tonight we're doing a grown-up topic.
A grown-up topic. Yes, that's true.
We are talking.
We're talking
how to introduce this.
Deanna.
It's too grown up for me.
Who is, she does so much that I can't even put in a sentence. She writes, she's a storyteller, she's an activist.
She's a former ghost hunter.
Yeah.
And
she's a practicing Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Despite growing up in the southern United States in a predominantly Christian, like Baptist community in northern Florida, and being white.
That boils it down.
Yeah.
And there's so much more.
She has so many dimensions.
And she's so eloquent.
She is so eloquent, and she's a fantastic storyteller. And we were fortunate enough to be able to snag her when she was in New York for just a few days working on a project that she's involved with that facilitates dialogue between...
Members of Israel and the Muslim community.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen that she does dialogue between the Muslim community and Quakers and Jewish people. She does all sorts of